I was thoroughly disgusted by this latter incident and by several others of a similar nature, and I sought out the officer in charge of the troops there to lodge my complaint. I asked him why he wasn't maintaining proper discipline among his men, and I told him in strong terms that the beatings of the prisoners were counterproductive. We must maintain a public image of strength and uncompromising ruthlessness in dealing with the enemies of our race, but to behave like a gang of Ugandans or Puerto Ricans hardly accomplishes that. At this point, there is inserted an editorial note to the reader. Uganda was a political subdivision of the continent of Africa during the old era, when that continent was inhabited by the Negro race. Puerto Rico was the old era name of the island of New Carolina. It is occupied now by the descendants of white refugees from radioactive areas of the southeastern United States. But before the race purges in the final days of the Great Revolution, it was inhabited by a mongrel race of especially unsavory character. Here we return to the main text. Above all else, we must show ourselves as disciplined, since we will be demanding strict discipline on the part of the civilian population. We must never give vent to our feelings of frustration or our personal hatreds, but must show by our behavior at all times that what we are doing is serving a higher purpose. The captain exploded. He shouted at me to mind my own business. When I insisted that I was minding my business, he became red with anger and said that he, not I, was the one who had the responsibility and that he was doing the best he could under very difficult circumstances. He pointed out correctly that the organization had replaced nearly half the men in his company with untrained newcomers in the last month, and so it shouldn't be surprising to me that discipline wasn't all it might be. He also told me that he knew enough about the psychology of his men to understand the value of letting them beat the prisoners as a way of justifying to themselves that the prisoners were their enemies and deserved to be hanged. I really couldn't counter either of the captain's arguments, but I did note with some satisfaction that when he turned away from me, he strode angrily over to a group of soldiers who were brutally pistol-whipping a long-haired, effeminate-looking youth in an outlandishly mod get-up, a popular rock performer, and ordered them to stop. Upon thinking about it, I have come to see things more from the captain's viewpoint. Of course, we must tighten up discipline a great deal as soon as we can. But for the moment, it's better for us to have more political reliability and less discipline among the troops. We delayed our crackdown on the civilian population as long as we did, just so we could weed out and disarm the questionable GIs and replace them with the new people who've been coming through the enemy lines to us. Also, we wanted time to accustom the troops to the new order of things here and to give them at least a little ideological preparation for today's work. And we purposely let the civilians get more out of control than we might have, just so we would have a manifest excuse for taking thoroughly radical measures instead of half measures, which could not have solved the civilian problem in the long run. One other reason for the delay I learned today was that we needed time to finish compiling our arrest lists. For several years, organization members here, just as in other parts of the country, have been building their dossiers of system toadies, Jew fawners, equalitarian theorists, and other white race criminals, along with their street directories of all non-whites residing in predominantly white areas. We were able to use the latter, which were kept quite up to date even during the last month, without modification. But the dossiers required a huge amount of evaluation and weeding. In the first place, there were far too many of them. For example, a white family might have a dossier as race criminals because a neighbor had once observed a black attending a cocktail party at their home, or because they displayed one of the Equality Now bumper stickers, which have been distributed so widely by the human relations councils. In general, unless there was also other evidence in a particular dossier, these people were not put on the arrest list. Otherwise, we'd have had to hang better than 10% of the white population, an entirely impractical task. And even if we could hang that many people, there would be no good reason for it. Most of that 10% are really no worse than most of the other 90%. They have been brainwashed, they are weak and selfish, they have no sense of racial loyalty. But the same things are true of most people these days. People are what they have become, and we have to accept that as a starting point. Actually, it has been true all through history that only small portions of a population are either good or evil. The great bulk are morally neutral, incapable of distinguishing absolute right from absolute wrong, and they take their cue from whoever is on top at the moment. When good men are the rulers and the program makers for a society, the population as a whole will reflect this, and people with no originality or moral sense of direction of their own will nevertheless fervently support the highest aims of their society. But when evil men rule, as has been the case in America for many years now, most of the population will wallow happily in degeneracy of the worst kind and will self-righteously parrot every filthy and destructive idea that they have been taught. Most judges today, most teachers, actors, civic figures, and so on, are not being consciously and deliberately evil or even cynical in following the lead of the Jews. They think of themselves as being good citizens, just as they would think of themselves if they were acting in a diametrically opposite way under the influence of good leaders. Thus, there is no point in killing them all. This moral weakness will have to be bred out of the race over hundreds of generations. For now, it is sufficient for us to eliminate the consciously evil portion of the population, plus a few hundred thousand of our morally crippled good citizens across the country, as an example to the rest. The hanging of a few of the worst race criminals in every neighborhood in America will help enormously in straightening out the majority of the population and reorienting their thinking. In fact, it will not only help, but it is absolutely necessary. The people require a strong psychological shock to break old habits of thought. I understand all this, yet I must admit that I was troubled by some of the things I witnessed today. When the arrests first started, the public didn't realize what was coming, and many citizens were cocky and abusive. I was present shortly before dawn, when the soldiers dragged about a dozen young people out of a large house near one of the university campuses, and they, as well as their housemates who were not arrested, were screaming obscenities at our men and spitting on them.